Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour number two, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I went to a great restaurant. I told you about it, Joy, this past weekend. I am not telling the public because I struggled to get in. I talked about it briefly the first time. I couldn't get in, couldn't get a reservation. Now I go to it. I'm only telling my friends.
If you struggle to get a reservation, I'm not getting in there.
I'll make a call for you. It is unbelievable. Best pork chop in the history of the world. Easily. Best pork chop in L.A., I'll tell you that.
I don't know you generally eat pork chops unless my mom makes them.
You got to try these.
Yeah?
Oh, but I'm not telling anybody. And by the way, I'm going to my amazing dentist tomorrow. Not telling you who that is either.
It's very... I used to think you were being selfish, but nowadays it's very difficult to get a reservation at just...
Anywhere
in LA. In LA, you have to get a reservation now because now that we are allowed to go outside,
everybody is.
Everyone is outside. Like, you cannot just walk into a restaurant like, "Hey, I'd like a table." Like, the
over.
Oh, would you? Yeah. So does everyone else in Los Angeles. Good luck with that. So you have to have a reservation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to take advantage of our friendship and have you do that for me this weekend.
Yeah. So my dentist has lasers and it cleans my teeth in like 40 seconds with lasers. Like, it's like Jetsons.
No,
and
your dentist is a nice dentist.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not telling you who it is. He's the best dentist in the history of the world. Lasers. It's like he's 20 feet away. Bzz, 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 walks out, teeth white.
Yeah, listen, we can't just be giving away our spots.
That's right.
We worked hard to find these places.
That's right. All right, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Order on their app. Get delivery right to your home or pickup. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. They have game day Saturdays when you order through the Jersey Mike's app. Free delivery on Saturdays. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
We were on it for 2 years about OBJ in Cleveland. It didn't work. It's okay. It was never a good fit. We were on this 2 years ago. It happened. Sometimes dramatic, high maintenance players can cool a locker room. Kyrie to Boston. It's nobody to blame. It's not like this team is short on offensive talent. Baker yesterday, 8 different guys caught a ball. Donovan Peoples-Jones, a terrific young receiver they drafted a year or two ago out of Michigan. He's been there. He's excellent. They got good tight ends. Don't fight it. It's okay. It's not just about getting talent. You're building a team, and OBJ cooled the locker room. Baker felt comfortable and free, and it worked.
Where Colin was wrong.
Blazing 5, I don't even want to try to explain what happened to the 49ers. It was one of my picks of the year. I went 2-3. I did pick the Giants to upset the Raiders, and I said, I know, first time I've bet Atlanta and won, maybe in 37 years, but 2-3, under 40% on the year. By the way, my college picks went 3-0 again. NFL picks stink.
Where Colin was right.
I've been calling out Aaron Rodgers' narcissism and selfishness for years. By the way, the Packers now are no longer the number one seed in the NFC. And he plays Seattle without practice. They could be the 3 seed by the end of next weekend. He got caught in a lie. That's what narcissists do. They think they're so smart that nobody will catch them in their lies and deception. Aaron Rodgers saying, well, I'm a critical thinker. So the 73% of Americans who got the vaccine are not critical thinkers. By the way, Howard Stern had a great line this morning. Next time he gets hurt, don't send out doctors. Let Joe Rogan do it. Give me a break.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I have been trumping Kyle Shanahan. I have been his biggest advocate. But yesterday he got worked by Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury had Colt McCoy. He didn't have his quarterback. He didn't have his best wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. They didn't have Chase Edmonds after about a series. J.J. Watt's gone, their best run stopper, and they completely out-schemed, outplayed, out-coached with Colt McCoy. They came in with a wildly creative game plan, and once again, Shanahan's offense is predictable and rigid. And this is now, by the way, it's not like they don't have players. They got good backs, good O-line, a star tight end, Emmanuel Sanders. The 49er game plans are predictably rigid, like his personality.
Where Colin was right.
Russell Westbrook is exactly what I predicted with the Lakers. He's going to give you a ton of minutes, and you don't want him anywhere near the ball in crisis. He had 1-for-13 against Portland this weekend with 6 turnovers. He's a disaster. By the way, LeBron got hurt, so it was his team for 3 games. The last 2, he has been so bad late in games, it is like clench your teeth and close your eyes. This is what he is. This is what he was going to be with the Lakers. He's a regular season minutes provider. You cannot put him in crisis or crucial spots late in games. That's why I wouldn't be shocked if they moved him at the trading deadline. Nick Wright and I talked about that yesterday in my podcast. He is exactly what I thought he would be. You're going to get minutes, you're going to get passion, you're going to get energy, and he can't shoot, and you don't want the ball in his hands. When LeBron's out, it's his team. He's the quarterback. Run for your life.
Where Colin was wrong.
Sam Darnold's head coach is now giving up on Sam Darnold. I love the athlete. I love the kid. But he is not a naturally gifted thrower of the football. So he makes the easy stuff look incredibly difficult. And here was Matt Rhule after the 3 picks yesterday.
You know, I don't want to lay things on one person, but we just can't continue to just keep throwing the ball up. Like, we got to protect the football. Like, if you have an interception, it's a third down interception is one thing. A first and second down interception can't happen. And so to me, those are decision-making things that, you know, we've talked about and talked about and talked about. And here we are, you know, game 9 of the season, Joe, and it hasn't happened, you know. So
do you feel like Sam Darnold still gets you guys the best opportunity to win?
You know, I'll watch the tape before I make some, you know, big statement, to be quite honest. You want to make sure I see everything and consider all factors. I know Sam prepared hard. Yeah, we can't have a quarterback throwing the ball up in the air. He knows that. I know that. So whether we have to get with the coaches, figure out, is it coaching? Is it him? What is it? We can't keep doing this.
By the way, again, I often talk about, oh, that guy's an easy thrower. Some guys mechanically, like Baker Mayfield, for all the criticism, looks like he should quarterback. The way his release point, his mechanics, Darnold, it's too hard. And because of that, the easy stuff becomes kind of difficult and the hard stuff becomes impossible.
Where Colin was right.
Urban Meyer is not going to coach USC. Urban Meyer is not leaving the NFL. Urban Meyer, with a tire fire for a roster, got his second win. This stuff takes time. He inherited a mess. He's got a rookie quarterback. Can we be a little patient? He's outcoached Brian Flores and Sean McDermott this year. He beat a better team, a better quarterback, a better roster. I'm not saying he's Belichick, but I don't care very much about his personal life. That's his stuff. What I care about is the team getting better. Well, I will say this. They're inconsistent because bad teams are, but I've seen 3 games this year. They led Arizona at half. They gave Denver fits. They beat Miami, and they beat the Bills. And again, outside of wide receiver, there is not a great unit on this roster. Their pass rush is interesting. It ain't great. So can we slow down? Can we be fair? I know you may not like him and you think he's cocky, but this is the worst roster in the league, and they got 2 wins. And they're going to win another game or two. Let's just go 2 years. Is that fair? You know, even Jordan Love, who drove me crazy. I wouldn't be nearly hard on him if he didn't get a year. But Jordan Love's had a year and a half of practice. Like, Urban comes into the league, go win games with a bad roster. Give me a break on that.
Where Colin was right.
I said to KD, be careful about leaving the Warriors. You got a lot of smart people. This is a really well-run organization. Today, the Warriors have the best record. First in points, first in defense, first in assists, first in threes. Be careful, KD. By the way, Gary Payton's son, they found him, a defensive gem. Jordan Poole, the draft pick, has developed into a terrific player. They are deep. They've got experience on the bench. They've got a nice mix of youth and shooters and defenders. I said this with Kevin Durant. Not just leaving Steph for Kyrie, why would you leave what appears to be as smart an organization as the league has? And in a couple years since KD left, they are great on both sides. Draymond Green is infused with a new energy. Jordan Poole is a terrific young player. He would be on the KD Warrior team today because they got him on the draft after he left. Can you imagine having Klay, Steph, Draymond, KD, Jordan Poole? just hand him a trophy. So the Warriors are officially back and fun to watch. I watched them. Who did they play the other night? It was a red uniform. They were fun. They won. They the game got out of hand early. Who did I watch the Warriors against? I watched. Not last night. It was the night before or 2 nights ago. I watched about. Yeah, Pelicans. There you go. Thank you, Alex. I watched them play the Pelicans, and they broke.
They beat 126-85.
Yeah, and there were a while there. It was pretty close. Boom. The Warriors have a really interesting team. They don't even have Klay Thompson yet. It's a very interesting roster. Keep your eyes on it. Speaking of interesting, Greg Olsen, I listened to him. Boy, he's doing a good job. You know, I've said before, the hardest job to me is the analyst in football, because you have to talk for 7 seconds 250 times, and they want you to be brilliant every time. Sometimes there's nothing to say. And Greg Olsen has gone from player to analyst. He's doing a tremendous job, and he joins us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Sunday on Fox, Zeke and the Cowboys take on Matt Ryan and the Falcons, or the Vikings take on Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Check local listings for the game in your area, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
There was only one thing I'd never done in my adult life. That was bet the Atlanta Falcons and win money.
You know, I almost chastised you on the show.
But that was a great example of, this is why it shows you why betting is hard. Atlanta was the superior team all game yesterday. Atlanta was clearly better, absolutely, and almost lost. And Baltimore is clearly better than Minnesota and had to go overtime at home. Is that this league's hard.
They're all pros.
So is Greg Olsen, 14 years, three Pro Bowls. He did yesterday the Bronco-Cowboy game, and I haven't talked a ton about that game because I knew Greg was coming on, so he will now join us live. So I'm sure you've been in these games. You're a favorite. Yeah, the week of practice, and then you walk in, and Greg, I was two series into that, and I'm like, oh, this ain't great. Like, Dak's not quite there. And, I mean, when you were watching it, was it jaw-dropping to you?
It was, and we kept saying, you know, Burkhart and I kept saying, it's, you know, Dallas is going to find their way. Their offense is going to come to life, right? It just seemed inevitable, yet every possession they would go out there, Denver would get a stop, and next thing you know, punt the ball right back to them. Like, it just defied everything we had prepared for. It defied all of our talking points going into the game. You know, we had graphics, Dallas number one offense. Are they a historically great offense? You know, right. We got all these graphics and all these storylines in the bucket, and the game completely flipped. They went for the two fourth down tries in the first quarter. And it seemed like after that, aside from the punt fiasco on the block punt, that wasn't a blocked punt. The game was never really competitive.
You know, it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago, I put Denver like at four. And I said, when I watch Denver, I see these, they're physical, they're tight ends big, their receivers run. And then they let Von Miller go. And my prediction was, oh, that's not good for the locker room. They're just telling the locker room. What do you make of Denver this morning? Is it just one of those, all right, it happens, it's an outlier. Do you buy Denver at all?
Going into the game, I thought Denver's defense could keep it close, right? I think our talking points going in were, yes, Von Miller was shipped aside, but Jonathan Cooper, the rookie, he was almost unblockable yesterday in the passing game. I mean, Terrence Steele, they moved him from right tackle to left tackle. He struggled blocking him. Interior, they got some guys that can get after the passer. Defensively, you know, Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive minds. I thought defensively they'd have a good plan. Did I think they were going to hold them to 0 points into the fourth quarter? Of course not.
Yeah.
The part of the game that really surprised me was the Broncos offense came to life. And you said it, Cortland Sutton's a really good player, getting Jerry Jeudy back from injury, the tight ends, they got two good backs. Teddy Bridgewater played his best game of the season, arguably his best game of his last couple seasons as a starter. That was the side of the ball that if they can find that level of consistency to go along with Vic Fangio and what's going to be pretty much a regular basis where that defense is going to carry them, they got a shot to be very competitive in a division that now seems kind of a mixed bag, right? It's kind of a
Yeah. So you said something during the commercial break before we came back that's really important, and we saw it. We've seen it over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We pay attention to star quarterbacks, but there's always another quarterback on the roster. And I want to talk about something that you've spotted that you think now you really think is a vital part of the success in the NFL.
Yeah, I think we saw yesterday, and I think we've seen it at times throughout the course of the year. We saw it yesterday, you know, say Colt McCoy down in Arizona filling in for Kyler Murray. And he explodes, they score 30 plus, and they win a game that didn't really seem to be overly competitive at any point against San Francisco. The role of a veteran backup quarterback, you know, people make jokes, you know, how is Case Keenum still in the league? Why is Nick Foles being traded around? Coaches understand, at least the good ones, the value of having a quarterback that doesn't need a million reps. He's not going to get a ton of work with the first team offense during the season. But he can at any moment go in there and get you a win, keep you competitive, not have you fall off the face of the earth because your starter has to miss a game due to injury or nowadays because of COVID. It's such a valuable position. And I think it's why we see these same names kind of bounce around. Yeah. And next thing you know, they're playing for 5 or 6 teams and they're in their league for 15 years. I mean, Josh McCown. I mean, look at some of these guys that have filled that role. They are invaluable for a team if you want to keep a season going when your starter goes out.
Yeah, I mean, you could make like the Mitch Trubisky for Buffalo. You're like, listen, the guy was a starter for 3 years. He knows what it's like to be a starter. He's a professional quarterback. Josh Allen runs around. He gets hurt for a game. I watched Colt McCoy yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, he just sliced him up. So, you know, it's interesting about Jordan Love. I didn't have high expectations. I'm not being... Joy and I came in. I'm like, if he can go 20 for 29, no TDs, no picks. I think this is what worries me, is that even the quarterbacks I can be critical of, Jalen Hurts, I do get wow moments from Jalen Hurts. I'm like, man, he makes good players miss. Greg, I didn't get a wow moment. I didn't get a wow throw. I didn't get a wow run. He's had 18 months. I wasn't expecting a lot. I didn't get... When Josh Allen was struggling, he was jumping over linebackers and throwing, yeah. You know what I mean? Like when Cam Newton first couple of years, there were moments you're like, whoa, I've never seen that. I didn't see a lot of that with Jordan Love.
Yeah, I think every young player, quarterback or not, you need to hang your hat on something, right? One element of your game, even if the rest are not refined, the rest are not up to the standard of a full-time starter, especially a quarterback, but really just across the league. Do something really well, right? So now take that to the quarterback. You brought up Josh Allen. Yeah, when he was inaccurate and he was completing 50% or so of his passes, he would make the wow moments. He'd have the third down scramble. He'd have the design QB run. Cam that way early, although his rookie year, he was pretty good, pretty dynamic. My point is, there was no, to your point, there was really no element, short passes, on-time rhythm, scramble drill, deep ball. There was really no element of the offense that he looked overly comfortable with. Now, I will say, back to our previous conversation, being a young, inexperienced backup who now doesn't get the reps and now you're in week 9 and all of a sudden it's, hey, you got 4 days to get ready to go replace Aaron Rodgers in the midst of this circus that's going on around it. It was a less than ideal starting scenario for him. The one benefit he did have was Kansas City's defense is not recognized as being a world beater,
right?
Although the last couple of weeks we've said that and they've actually played pretty well. So I don't know. They got to hope that Aaron Rodgers comes back, of course. But if Jordan Love is the future there, if they do break away from Rodgers, he's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. So, this runs counter to what we think the way sports should be. So the Celtics went out and got Kyrie Irving and added him to a bunch of good players and they got worse. And it's like, listen, man, sometimes they call them in Vegas coolers. You cool the room. You're not the joke I always use. You go on a Vegas boys trip. You go on a camping trip. 6-7 guys. One guy's a little snarky. It just doesn't work. You're like, he kind of ruined the trip. I like OBJ. I've talked to him. I don't think he's a bad guy. But it's clear from the data, Baker's more comfortable just doing his own thing, not feeling pressure. And I don't know if you ever experienced that. The fans often think the more good talent, the better we are. It's like, that's not, you're not collecting chess pieces here. Like, I thought Baker yesterday, he only had 14 completed passes, but it's sprinkling though. 8 different guys caught a ball. Your takeaway.
Yeah, this is not fantasy football, right? The NFL is not who can assemble, although some teams are trying, right? The Rams are trying to do that. And it's hard to argue that they've been really good other than last night, of course. But the point being, this is not just assemble every marquee player, every player you've heard of, every player who's made a Pro Bowl team, throw them in a pot, mix them up, and throw them out there on Sunday. There is so much to competitive teams, chemistry, locker room. And again, I don't, every time I've been around Odell, I actually said this to somebody yesterday, like no one was nicer to my kids at a Pro Bowl than Odell Beckham. No one took more time. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think when it comes, he's like a lot of marquee players. They want the ball. They demand the ball. They demand a lot of attention. They demand a lot of patience and coddling and handling. And when you're 1,300, 1,400 yards, you're willing to deal with that. And then all of a sudden the production's not there and it's, does it justify him having a spot on the team? Someone's going to pick him up in the right situation. He still is incredibly talented. But as far as the Browns were concerned, and it starts with the quarterback, if the quarterback is not comfortable, if the quarterback feels like he's being pulled, he's got different voices in his ear saying, you know, man, I'm open. You got to feed me. And, you know, Jarvis Landry's telling him that, but then he's got two really good running backs. Like, there's only one ball. And sometimes less is more, less voices are better.
Yeah.
Locker room chemistry and being a true team and no, you know, selfless egos. The best teams I was ever on, no one cared who got the ball. The teams that all of a sudden it started, I've got a new contract, I need more production, you're holding me back. Things go sideways in the NFL fast.
Yeah. Finally, the analogy I used earlier was Brady's more of a baker. When he struggles, he goes back to certain things. Mechanics, pre-snap, efficiency, release point. Mahomes is more chef. A lot of it's feel. I'm sprinkling in this. I'm putting in that. So when he struggles, what does he go back to? He's more the artist. He spills paint. He's old school gunslinger. And like last night on the scripted series, they score. And then they go back to him kind of ad-libbing, and I think he'll get it right. But he feels a little lost, like he's adding this and he's adding that. And there's certain quarterbacks in this league, there's almost a book on what they do. And when they get off it, they just go back, okay, this is what I do. My footwork's crappy. My mechanics are off. And I watch Mahomes, and I'm like, there's not really a book for that. And he feels a little lost. That's what I see. When I watch him, what do you see? Because he's struggling.
I think you nailed it. I think what's so fun about coaching guys like him is also what's very challenging, because you have to let guys like him play. Cam was like that to a degree, right? You couldn't put Cam in a box and say, do it like that guy. Like that wouldn't work. They needed that player's mind and freedom and feel and the trust that, let me be. I know it's unconventional. You're not going to teach the young backup. You're not going to teach kids to do it Mahomes' way necessarily. But he was so good for the last couple of years that, of course, you don't change him. That now the instinct is, okay, he's not working anymore. Let's get back to hitting our fifth foot, stepping up in the pocket, not throwing the ball sidearm. You can't. You have to let these guys work through a little bit of a slump.
Yep.
You know, again, he set the bar so high that when he's not throwing for 400 and scoring 40 a game, it's regarded as a slump. He would be the first to admit their offense is not clicking. But you can't all of a sudden now go back on the last few years that we've seen the magic he can make. He's going to come out of it. All elite players like him, they're going to come out of it. It's not working right now. They're a little off. He's a little unconventional. But as a coach, and I think Andy Reid, his best quality is he understands his players and he lets them be who they are. You can't all of a sudden now say, all right, Pat, we let you do this for a few years, back to basics, because they're going to strip him of his magic. Let him play. Let him work through these kinks. They'll get it right by the end of the year, but you've got to ride or die with the way this guy has carried your team, in essence. And you just got to let him be. And it's very different. There's only a handful of guys. It's Steph Curry. If all of a sudden he started missing those half court threes and the threes, are you going to say, hey, Steph, enough of the three pointers now? And I know, no, of course not. Like, they are unique. They play a different style. You got to let them play and weather the bad times.
You're so good. All right, buddy, you got Falcons, Cowboys, but I'm going to make a guarantee Dallas will play better this week. I know I'm going out on a limb there. They'll be better this week.
Hey, Colin, all I want after my slate of games, I want a game within one touchdown in the fourth quarter. That's all I care about. You know, it's funny. Every team like thinks I root for their team or root against their team. I root for no one. I root against no one. All I want is each team to score 30 points and be within one score in the late of the fourth quarter. And I'm happy as you know what, like blowouts are the worst. We were talking about it before the show, but I want great offense. I want great players to play great and be a tight game, and I'm thrilled.
Yeah, and add no injuries. I don't want to see anybody hurt.
Yeah, yesterday we had a bunch of injuries, guys being carted. It was tough.
Yeah. Great seeing you, buddy.
All right, man. Always enjoy it.
All right, Greg Olson, just so fantastic. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Greg's so good.
He's absolutely right, though. When you're calling a game.
Oh, people think you're rooting. Joe Buck is.
Nobody. We're not rooting for anything.
You know what Joe Buck wants?
I just want the last drive to matter and score a bunch of points.
You know what Joe Buck wants in a baseball game? He wants that Cleveland Cubs. He wants to be able to make a great call in a 4-4 game. What Joe wants, what all play-by-play guys want selfishly, is drama so the moment rises and I can be part of history. Nobody cares who wins in this stuff. Just get us to the end. And it's Baltimore, Minnesota, and the Chargers, Eagles yesterday. I sat and watched those two games. I'm in LA. I know people with the Chargers, but I was like, this is fantastic. This is incredible
drama.
It's
really a compelling watch. That's all. Well, speaking of, the Cardinals were without Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and AJ Green.
Ridiculous.
They also lost Chase Edmonds in the first quarter.
Yeah.
But they didn't completed matter. The season sweep against the Niners. Didn't see this one coming. Colt McCoy was very efficient in his first start this season, 22 of 26, 249 yards and a touchdown. And James Conner had a huge game, 173 scrimmage yards and 3 total touchdowns.
How about this kid? I mean, he's at Pittsburgh. You know, we're like, you know, he doesn't have much of a burst. He leads the league in touchdowns.
He's one of those guys that is just going to overcome the situation.
Wow.
Like that's how he's wired. And it's not a terribly surprising performance to me from James Conner. And they are a great team. They're the best team in the NFL.
Here's what I would say.
Like who is, I mean, obviously we're going to do your hierarchy tomorrow. But.
A play from 9-0 one play from 9-0. And by the way, not only that, Joy, when you start having multiple blowouts in a season, I mean,
and you're just overcoming massive losses and injuries. Yes. So they're 8-1, 31-17 victory over the Niners. And James Conner, obviously the star, 21 carries, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown.
Playmakers everywhere.
And where does this leave the Niners, though?
Not in a good space.
They have some decisions to make.
Again, they now are getting whacked at home regularly. And so we always blame, that's Garoppolo. Well, I know Kyle's record without Garoppolo is really bad. So you can blame Garoppolo, and none of us think he's Mahomes, right? But
no.
At some point, guys like me are out here saying this coach is great and this coach isn't great. And it's like, they got personnel issues. They have got to make a change.
It can't always be injuries.
The other thing is I can't blame just offense. D'Amico Ryans is the defensive coordinator right now. It's not working. Whatever's happening, it's not working. So they may have to change coordinators. But they're giving up. When you watched Arizona play, and there were multiple times, Joy, there were too much space. Like anything that had any deception worked, anything. And it's like, okay, so we have a fundamental problem. You can almost never throw deep on the Patriots. You get no freebies on the Patriots.
Right.
It's as if they play with 12 players. San Francisco looks like they're playing with 9. There's too much space.
It's that was a desperate win needed for the 49ers.
Oh, it's a
season. And to lose like that is really, that's rough. So the Chargers recovered from back-to-back losses and got the win against the Eagles yesterday in a very exciting game. Herbert completed 32 of 38 passes for 356 yards and 3 total touchdowns. It was tied at 24 with around 6 minutes to go, and Justin Herbert led the team down the field, rushed for a crucial 4th-and-1,
yes,
and set up the game-winning field goal to get the win, 27-24, game-winning field goal. And the Chargers is not usually a sentence that you say very often, but they did it. He became the 5th quarterback this season to complete more than 80% of his passes.
Oh.
Against the Eagles. And Jalen Hurts was exciting as well. 11 of 17, 162 yards, 1 touchdown, 62 rushing yards. We know that he's capable of making plays with his legs.
He's productive, period. I watched it. Now, is Herbert the better, more classic quarterback?
Yeah.
No, nobody's arguing that. But with Hurts, all I know is this. He's what Jordan Love wasn't. He's wildly productive.
He is productive. And even though I know Eagles fans aren't going to want to hear this morning, the Eagles are, I don't have expectations for them this year. And you shouldn't. They have a new coach. They're still figuring out things with Jalen Hurts. But they're going to have a lot of picks.
And by the way, some of their young guys now are good.
Yes. Yes, and they're dealing with some injuries this year as well, like everyone is. So I think if the Eagles can put it together next year, they're going to be a team to contend with. They still are a few pieces away.
Yeah,
I don't like how everything fell apart so quickly from the Super Bowl, but it looks like they're starting to kind of find their way, which is all you can ask for from a young coach and a team with a young quarterback. Is that's a tough loss, obviously. No one in the locker room wants to hear that, but right. They are producing numbers, and there is something to say for that. It's not like you're getting blown out.
Right.
So the Lakers were already without LeBron, who was dealing with an abdominal strain when they went to Portland to take on the Blazers on Saturday. But then Anthony Davis left the game with a stomach illness, non-COVID related. And Portland got out to a 22-point lead by the end of the first quarter. Russell Westbrook struggled without them out there, finished 1 of 13 with 8 points and 6 turnovers. And the Lakers lost their second straight game, 105-90. None of the Lakers starters were in double digits in points. Malik Monk had a team high 13 points in the loss, and they play the Hornets tonight at 10:30 Eastern. It's getting a little interesting for Westbrook. I thought this was a good signing for them because they needed the energy and the minutes during the regular season.
And he is providing that.
And he is, aside from this game, putting up numbers and statistics. But it's not all about that. It's how you finish the game.
That's not him.
It isn't, and I guess I kind of had hopes, and still early, obviously, that, you know, we've seen players be able to adjust their games. Yeah. I think James Harden did a nice job with that. Obviously, it's a little different this year with the rule changes. It's becoming more difficult, but you can adjust, and that's really what it's going to come down to for Westbrook. I think he's in a really interesting space in his career. We know he's a Hall of Famer. We know what his legacy is, but are you going to be able to contribute to a championship contending team in a way where we feel like you are a part of that? We, not me and Colin, obviously fans.
I just think he's an out of control player, and that's what he's always been. But when he had the right pieces, you know, he had the ball so much. You got a lot of volume with him. You got a lot of turnovers. You got a lot of assists. Now you don't really need him in that space. What you need with him is, like, can you be situationally good? And that's not really that. His energy and his athleticism were always his fastball.
Right.
His situationally, that's why I think he struggles in the playoffs. He's not a great situational player.
But that's what it comes down to.
Well,
they have to find the formula that works situationally for them, especially because they are going to deal with times when LeBron and Anthony Davis are not out there. Like, LeBron's been playing forever, and he's going to need some time off. He's dealing with an injury. You got to find that balance there. I still think he's very necessary because they are the oldest team in the league. But, yeah, situationally, he's just got to be better.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Cowboys lost. I'd throw away the tape. Dak had a week in which he didn't practice a ton. Throw the tape away. Buffalo lost. I am a little concerned about the inconsistency of their offensive front. But the Rams loss is more troubling because it's so solvable. It's so solvable. So last night is, we all know that Stafford is better than Jared Goff, right? We all know that. We're not going to argue about that. But I said this weeks ago, Sean McVay shouldn't suppress his creativity because Stafford's better. The Rams used the same 11 personnel grouping on all 74 snaps. The first half, no deception. And McVay, to me, has put too much blind faith in Matt Stafford. He's not that mobile. He's more mobile than Goff, but I wouldn't classify him as a super mobile quarterback. Tom Hanks is great. He needs a script. He's had bad movies, too. The first half against the Titans, it was straight drops, 11 personnel. Well, Tennessee's too good and too well coached. They sniffed that crap out. We know Stafford is better. But Tom Brady last year in his playoff run, you can't be, quarterback can't be be-all, end-all. Brady needed that running game, which they kind of lacked throughout the regular season. And they got to the playoffs. Oh, and Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, they had a running game. Oh, Tom's better. Mahomes right now, is they're rebuilding that offensive line. Mahomes needs help. And so I think sometimes that Sean McVay has suppressed his creativity, and it's almost like Matt Stafford's the savior. Matt, empty set, make it happen. No, no, Matt Stafford needs deception too. And when the Rams, and they weren't going to win last night, that's Tennessee smelled it, had a better game plan, more physical. But you can't just say, Matt, you just drop back. Let's clear it out. No back set. No back. Matt Stafford doesn't have a history of winning those games. Not against good teams. Not against well-coached teams. Not against teams with a good pass rush. So in the second half, there was a lot of deception, a lot of counters, a lot. Well, all of a sudden, Matt's got more success and Matt has more time to throw. I think they've looked at Stafford as such a savior, and he is better than Goff. And we all know that. It's not an argument. But I'm going to give the Tennessee Titans credit. Everybody's saying, like, the Rams had a lot of penalties. That was uncharacteristic. You know why teams have penalties? Because the game gets faster. And Tennessee made the game faster. There's more holdings. You're out of sorts. You're getting hit in the mouth. Some of that is not just the Rams not playing well. That's Tennessee. I always said this. You take a typist who types 70 words a minute and ask that person to type 120 words a minute, they're going to make more mistakes. Like the Titans, they make Josh Allen make more mistakes. And Matt Stafford makes more mistakes. And the offense makes more mistakes. And the offense holds more. You got to give some credit to Tennessee for all those Ram mistakes because they got them out. You make mistakes when you're out of your comfort level. Either the play is coming in too fast, you're getting too much pressure. So I give Tennessee credit for the mistakes. But what I think LA could have solved is a more creative offensive game plan, which they gave Goff every week. Every week. Goff, I mean, the Rams were one of the best watches in the league. They were all over the place. Now it's just 11 personnel, save the day. It's not who they are. You got to give Matt Stafford creativity too. He's not Kyler Murray. Speaking of Kyler Murray, most people didn't watch Arizona house San Francisco. But this goes to something we talk about all the time, is that one of the great qualities, and unfortunately, you don't see it among a lot of people in America. A lot of people in America think they have the answers for everything. To admit occasionally as a man, yeah, I messed that up. But unfortunately, what you have is marginally talented people in America think they're doctors now. Maybe be good at your own career before you're an expert on something you've never studied for 8 years. The Arizona Cardinals acknowledged, yeah, that coaching hire didn't work. Whoa, we missed on that quarterback draft pick. Do you know Steve Keim could be in the middle of a tsunami, a disaster today? But Steve Keim acknowledged, I got the wrong coach and I got the wrong quarterback. I'm going to go with Cliff Kingsbury. I'm going to go with Kyler Murray. And right now, because of those two, Arizona's the best football team in the league. Is that Cliff Kingsbury, to me, I would give him the coach of the year today. Why? They brought in a lot of new pieces, and these were some veterans that got, they have egos and they have contracts. This is not an easy team. It's not a young team like Urban Meyer has where, you know, it almost feels collegiate. You got some big contracts here. You got some adults in the room. They lost J.J. Watt. They're using a backup yesterday. That game plan was clever. It was go for it. It was creative. And Kyle Shanahan looked like the second best coach on that field. So when you look at what they've overcome, the injuries, how they're winning this division, Arizona is a great example of don't double down on your mistakes. You don't know everything. You're really not a doctor. You don't know everything. It's okay to admit, I'm going to trust people that went to medical school. I'm going to trust that I made a mistake on the coach. And I made a mistake on the quarterback. And right now, a year later, you're the best team in the league. Don't double down on wrong. Because we're all wrong. It's no big deal. It's not the end of the world. Nobody's going to eat you. It's okay to admit, we messed up. I mean, Arizona right now, had they been stubborn, the GM would be out of work. The coach would be terrible. The quarterback's not working. You're probably going to have the number three draft pick. That's what you'd be today had Steve Keim acknowledged. Not acknowledged. Yeah, I messed up twice. Oh, my God. Coach and quarterback. I missed on both. The owner, the Bidwells, thank God they did this. We're like, okay, this is not science. There's a little art to it. You make mistakes. I mean, you and I, we all know this. We don't know who's going to work. I mean, Tom Coughlin's coaching at Boston College. Did you ever guess? Yeah, he'll go up against Brady and Belichick, 2-0 in the Super Bowl. A lot of this stuff, I didn't think Kingsbury was going to work. I'm like, he couldn't win in college. He couldn't win with Patrick Mahomes. And I'll tell you this about Kingsbury, is that the first year he would have good series and good halves, but you saw his shortcomings. Like, he was learning on the fly how to coach in the NFL. And then last year, got better. Like, this year, you don't see the unevenness of Arizona. Like, they give you games and months. The first year, you saw the moments of Kingsbury where you're like, okay, he gets it. His scripted plays, you'd be like, man, he'll give you 12 scripted. They're good. And then they have terrible second halves. So, and Matt LaFleur, by the way, at Green Bay, first year, not quite there. Second year, remember first year I said about Matt LaFleur? They're bad after half. He's great on the script. He's not. Now Matt LaFleur, although I didn't like yesterday, is great for four quarters. So way to go, Arizona. Two big hires, missed on both, didn't double down in it, right on both, best team in the league.